Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, joined today by Rich Hershen. Rich, welcome, and it's always good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be here.
And we're at the offices of Best of Care, and you want to introduce our next guest on Radio Entrepreneurs?
So our next guest is Lisa Gergoni from Home Care Aid Council of Massachusetts. Lisa, welcome to our show.
Thank you for joining us.
Nice to have you. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is that you do?
So the Home Care Aid Council is a trade association. We're a nonprofit, and we have a foundation as well. And what we do is we were established in 1967 to develop standards of best practice for home care workers. So home health aides, home care aides, individuals who go into elders and people with disabilities home and provide direct care services.
So interesting. 50 years ago when the organization was established, obviously the field was just as in its infancy. Fast forward 40 years at least, and you know, home health care has been a huge component of the marketplace. Have standards changed dramatically in the last decade or two, and or is it awareness, all of our awarenesses that have changed?
Yeah, I think in Massachusetts we've had standards for a really long time. As opposed to other states. Some states have not had standards and still do not have standards. But we have had standards for the state and federally funded services, and that's really a testament to the leadership of our government and our legislature and our state Executive Office of Elder Affairs that has really put in standards in place for the state-funded services. The private pay market, however, in Massachusetts and in many other states is not highly regulated. So it's kind of an interesting situation where services that are paid for with state or federal dollars have regulations and oversight, and private market is really not regulated that highly.
It's interesting that the standards don't apply across both markets, and at the same time, you know, I'm sure people that are paying private pay are paying top dollar, and yet they don't know that, perhaps they don't know that there's not regulation. So in Massachusetts, we're sort of ahead of the curve when it comes to regulation. And you work in conjunction with the state to ensure that these regulations are and standards are enforced?
Yeah, so what happens is our council works directly with the legislature and the state government to develop training requirements and supervision requirements for home care workers that are built into the contracts that they have with the agencies, the home care agencies. So yes, we work closely with them to develop the rules and then to make sure that they are monitored through the elder service programs.
How quickly do you find those rules are changing with new technology and other things happening in society? Are those rules changing at a brisk pace?
Yeah, I mean, right now, technology particularly is really changing how we're working on things. There's much more focus on data and getting accurate and real-time data to the payers, whether they are the state or a managed care organization. So that's really impacting what's happening. And it's, I think, falls heavily on these agencies that contract with the state and the federal programs, because some of them are very small, independently owned mom and pops, and they don't have a huge amount of overhead. So for them to enhance their costs to develop the technology or to put on different products, what have you, it's an infrastructure cost, which is not really funded well. And then you have these larger companies, some of them having outside investors. They can absorb the cost a little bit more, but some people are concerned that they kind of, because they're so large, lose the touch to the actual workers, which is really important, having that company that's smaller, that knows their workers and understands their workers and can really connect the individual worker with the consumer as best as possible.
So as the industry's undergone change and there's been greater oversight, I know one of the challenges is the level of training and the skill level. And I think you go back 40 years ago, I think it was considered an unskilled profession. Clearly that's not the case. And, you know, from a philosophical perspective, we're taking care of our elders and people who are in greatest need. How has that been impacted, and in particular over the last couple of years with a shortage of a labor pool?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot more people at home that are much sicker. You know, before they would have been in a nursing home. We're seeing Alzheimer's disease is a big issue people are facing in the home. I think about 60% of the consumers in the state home care program have some sort of dementia. So we've done a lot more training on Alzheimer's disease. Mental health issues has been a big thing for our workers right now. So we're doing more training on mental health and working with individuals with mental health. Substance abuse, we actually have a grant from the federal government to look at clients who have substance misuse issues and how to work with them. family members and communication skills and all that as well. We're just seeing much more difficult situations in the home, and how do these individuals, by the way, most of the workers are women, low income, 50% have a high school education or less. So they're not, you know, they need more skill training. And so the, how do we equip them with the skills they need to respond to the consumers are seeing, which is getting more and more complicated.
And is that largely a function of people aging in place and people not being institutionalized? And so we're dealing with a patient population that has higher acuity and
that gap in training and ability
to care?
I mean, I think we're definitely, with the focus on the home versus the nursing home, that is definitely increasing the acuity of the patients. But people are also living longer, right? I mean, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, a lot of these people, you probably technology wouldn't allow them to live. So they're much more, you know, home. They're stable, but they need a lot more support than they would have before. So that's another thing. And I also think families are more dispersed. So a lot of people don't have relatives close by anymore. So that's, especially in this area in Massachusetts, we have a lot of people that, you know, move on, go to other states for jobs or what have you. So mom or dad are left really very, you know, independently, and they want to stay here, but that just adds to the burden of the workforce and the industry to kind of provide the care that people need.
So how much emphasis is there upon enforcement and making sure that standards are being met? You talked about sort of a disparity between public-funded agencies and private, and it would seem to me that one of the challenges at a state level is how do you watch over it?
Yeah.
You got people dispersed, workforce that's dispersed, going into people's homes. How do you really make sure that, you know, the data that you're getting is accurate in some respects?
So again, if you're working with the state or the federal government, there's something called the Aging Service Access Points, the ASAPs, and they do monitoring, you know, in terms of watching the agencies they contract with. So there's that. And I wouldn't say it's a perfect system, quite honestly, but there is oversight. On the private pay level, I think it's a little bit different, you know, and one of the things we're seeing, especially with some of these applications, so a lot of the consumers are really attracted, especially people like our generation, you know, they're used to apps. So they like kind of the idea of this matching service where they use an app and it matches their mom with a worker. But that industry is really not, you know, it's very new. There's not a lot of oversight at all, and I don't even think a lot of attention to it. So, you know, we're seeing in that marketplace people, workers, you know, from my perspective, the workers, you know, they're not getting paid maybe all the hours that they need. They aren't, you know, licensed in any way. They're not trained. There's no sort of, I don't think the families realize that when they take that worker on, they're not, you know, following the labor laws in the Commonwealth. So I do think that's a whole marketplace that's kind of ripe with interesting regulatory issues. For instance, one of the largest, and I won't say their name, one of the largest applications just was actually fined by the Attorney General because they were misleading consumers, saying that they were actually doing background checks, and they were not really checking the backgrounds in Massachusetts. So, you know, there's lots of things that happens. I think technology is great, but it's also kind of the wild, wild west. And I think as consumers, we just assume, well, it's, you know, an application and they must know what they're doing.
It must be legitimate.
Yeah,
you know,
it must be legitimate.
As we're finding out,
don't trust
everything you read on Amazon.
Right. So it's an interesting dynamic, I think, for the home care agencies, you know, like Best of Care, where we are today, you know, for them to kind of, you know, they have that application has a much smaller, lower overhead. They're not following different rules. They don't have, like, checks they have to make. Or, you know, Massachusetts, we have a patient abuse registry. All the agencies have to check to make sure that their workers have not ever been found guilty of patient abuse. And, you know, some of those apps are not doing any of that. So it's kind of puts these companies that are following these rules at a real high disadvantage financially. And just they don't have the market share. They don't have the outreach.
Hopefully they sleep well at night.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They're ethical, at least.
But I think sometimes family people, you know, my own in-laws, you know, when they needed help for my mother-in-law, you know, I told them many times, oh, you should really use an agency and blah, blah, blah. But still, they chose to, you know, find the neighbor next door.
Right.
And that's hard for these companies because they're trying to do the right thing and they're trying to follow the laws and they're trying to both support the consumers and the workers. And they sometimes get undercut by these people who are doing whatever they want.
So with the aging population and all these things going on, I would think, you know, your organization has so much work to do with technology changing and more people. How does your organization raise funds? How do you get the funding to be able to provide these great services?
So we get a lot of grants, actually. So we have kind of two sides. The council itself is a trade association, so agencies join and they pay membership dues, and they help support the work. But then what we've really seen a lot of growth is in foundation funding. So Tufts Health Plan Foundation gave us a grant about a year and a half ago to study the workforce. We have a grant from the Patient-Centered Research Institute out of Washington. We've had smaller grants from Eastern Bank, and other like foundations. We're applying for the Cummings Foundation. So we really do find that a lot of these foundations are now seeing this workforce as really important, like you said. How do we train and support them? And so they're funding this work. And it's been really helpful to us, in really kind of, especially with the training pieces. A lot of the training stuff we've done has really been foundation-based.
And all most of your work is associated with developing the standards, yep. But not enforcement of the standards. That's
yes.
left to the state agencies
yes.
to maintain
so
that.
We so we develop the training curriculum and the standards, and then the state has to enforce them, yes. And we do advocacy at the State House, too, for laws to assist with that as well.
I would imagine, as we touched on, with the pace of change and the challenges in the workforce, you know, your work is all that much more important as we move forward and leads to better outcomes for everybody.
Yeah, that's our goal, really. This is one of the fastest growing occupations in our nation. Home care workers, if you look at any list, every BLS list, every national list. So we know it's growing and we know there's demand and there's need. But because it's, you know, very varied in terms of rules and regulations, we really want to make sure states and consumers think about what's the best practice and how do we best support, again, both the workforce, but also provide the best quality care possible to the consumers. And that's what we're doing every day.
And so if I'm a consumer, how do I get more information on, you know, this industry? How do I get more information to make sure I'm making the right choice?
Sure. So you could contact 800-AGE-INFO is the state website on home care. You know, they have a lot of resources. There are 26 different elder service programs statewide that can help refer your family or loved one to a home care agency in your area. We also, our council has a website, but I would say that, you know, Elder Affairs has been doing a lot of work in trying to educate the public, so I would refer you to that website as well.
And if organizations want to get in touch with you,
yep.
to either fund you or
yep.
or be a part of your organization membership, how do they
reach out to you? So our website is www.hcacouncil. It's spelled council.org. So happy to have you. And our phone number is 617-744-6561.
Wonderful. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Lisa Gregoni of Home Care Aid Council of Massachusetts. And you're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs coming to you today from the offices of Best of Care. And we'll be right back with another guest on Radio Entrepreneurs.